It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell. My grandson Angel is over there running the iPad for us this morning. And our guest today is Apostle Casey Elliott, one of my favorites. How are you doing, brother?
Doing good.
Amen.
Amen. Get to come and be with one of my favorites today.
Right on.
It's Monica.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can now send that to our new email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. Or you can text it to our text line. We have a text line, y'all. We've got awesome. A text line. Get a pen and a piece of paper.
Moving on up.
Yes. God's so good. He levels up.
Amen.
You can text the prayer request or praise report to 580-485-0837. Or you can still post it to our Facebook page, and I'll do my best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. If you do not have a home church, I want to encourage you to go visit Apostle Casey Elliott's church. It is awesome.
Amen.
Would you please pray to start us out? I think I covered it all.
I think we got it all.
I think so.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. Lord, we're thankful for just another chance to have another day, Lord. And Lord, this is a day that you have made. So, Lord, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And like Sister Monica said, this is the most powerful hour of our day. And Lord, we just thank you that we can come together to share your word to Father God, let's just share what you've laid on our hearts, Lord. We just pray that, Lord, what is spoken, what you've given will not fall on deaf ears, Lord, but that it will penetrate the hearts of your people. God, that we won't just be hearers, but we will be doers of your word also. And, Lord, we just thank you for everybody that's listening today and those that will hear the playback later. Lord, we just give you all the praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So I like your title, Staying Connected.
Staying Connected.
Man, yeah. That's so important.
Yes, it is. Staying Connected. And, you know, they always, sometimes you'll hear a movie come out and they'll say, based on a true story. Mm. And this sermon's actually based on a true story, and it actually happened just within the last little bit. You know, it's been, crazy in this world. And, you know, every day you wake up, you know, you hear something even more crazy than the day before. And, you know, one thing I've learned is not to ask, can it get any more crazy? Can it get any worse? Because guess what? It can. And, you know, I think we've reached a place where nothing shocks us anymore. Mm. Nothing shocks us anymore. And, you know, that's how the enemy does. He brings things on slowly that we get desensitized to it. And then it just becomes normal. The things that used to affect us now become normal. And that's a word right there. What used to affect you now becomes normal. But, you know, it's crazy times. And but we know that we have a Father that's still a God that's still alive, and his son is still seated at the right hand, amen, ruling and reigning. And so that's what we have to remember. No matter how crazy it gets, that's what we have to remember. But, you know, I said this is based on a true story, and we talked about this Sunday morning in church. And one thing I believe as a pastor is you cannot be an effective pastor if you're not willing to be transparent. If you're not willing to be transparent with the people, you know, so many pastors, they have to live up to the persona that we never go through things. We're Superman. We're, you know, we, nothing bothers us. Nothing affects us. And, but how can the people relate? Amen. You know, and then they're going to wonder, well, why do we go through things? Why don't the pastor go through things? And, you know, I've even had people ask me, how do you do it? You know, you're always happy-go-lucky when we see you. Why don't you go through things? And, you know, I tell them, y'all don't have a clue what I go through, but I've learned to say hallelujah anyhow.
Come on.
You know, I've learned that no matter what, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I face, you know, he's still God. And he's God. He's God, no, regardless of how I feel or think or my circumstances. But, you know, we're living in a time now where the enemy's not playing anymore. And, you know, we talked about the other day, if you go all the way back to Genesis, in the garden, when Eve had an encounter with him, he was, he behaved a different way than he does now. You know, he had to be real clever with her, real sneaky with her. And, you know, oh, did God really say it? You know, trying to be a gentleman almost, but, you know, trying to sweet talk her into it. But he ain't gentle no more. He ain't, you know, like First Peter said, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. And, you know, and he's trying everything he can to include everybody in that. And, you know, he's not being clever no more. He's not being kind anymore. He's coming at full force. And what started this back in January, the first of the year, you know, we're a church that believes in fasting. You know, the Bible said this kind of only comes out but by prayer and fasting. And so I tell people there's things you can pray for until you're blue in the face, but there's things that are a level that won't change unless you add fasting to the mix. And so it's about the middle of January. We had called a six-day fast, and we were going to be fasting from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody's doing good. Everything's going great. We call this fast, and within 36 hours, I mean, it was like, you know, it's almost like Ukraine. I mean, you just get bombarded. And within 36 hours, I mean, COVID was going through the church. Everybody was getting sick. Everybody was doing all this. And you're like, wow, you know, where did this come from? But, you know, it was just a retaliation of the enemy. And, you know, fasting is a discipline that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians don't see the need for anymore. But those of you, those that do practice, you know that, man, when you first start, here comes the enemy. And, you know, he doesn't even want you to get started in that. He wants to try to derail you before, you know, you even got started. But even with what we was going through, you know, I kept telling the people, I said, we got to keep pushing. We got to keep fighting, you know, and that's what I think about, you know, again, Ukraine, they're fighting. They're not giving up. They're standing their ground. They're fighting. They're keep on going. And so even in the midst of what was coming through, you know, we were still standing. We were still fighting. We were still continuing on. And, you know, right before that, you know, I think when we're on the mountaintop and everything's going good, we don't think about, you know, things that could come. And, you know, we were having deliverances almost every service, seeing miracles every service, you know, and you think, man, I'm high on this mountaintop. And so then all of a sudden when something like this comes, you just get blindsided and knocked off the mountain. But, you know, I was one of the ones that got sick. But, you know, as a pastor, not only do you have to, not only are you going through something, but you have a whole flock that's going through something. And so you're trying to pray and keep your own strength, but you have a whole congregation that's calling, you know, needing prayer and having to call you about what they're going through. And, what they're being attacked by. And, you know, like you said, you got to be transparent as a leader. And, you know, when you're getting, when you're going through and you're getting bombarded by, you know, reports of what other people are going through, and, you know, it can wear, take a wear on you. It can wear on you. And, you know, you, you know, and the enemy will speak to you, you know, you might as well just throw in the towel, you know, you might as well just give up, you know, and he'll be like, you know, look, a couple of weeks ago, y'all were on top of the mountain. Now look at you, you know, might as well. And, so I, you know, I told him Sunday, I said, it's not a, not that I was in a place of giving up, because we can't give up, but it just makes you tired. And, you know, and I think that's part of what we're seeing in the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says in the last days that many will walk away. Many will walk away from their faith. And I believe part of that is what we're seeing today is that, you know, people are going through things. You know, there's a difference between casual Christianity and really being about the kingdom of God. Big difference. And so when you just walk in casual Christianity, you're not a threat to the enemy.
Come on.
You know, if you show up to church, sing a few songs, put a little money on the offering plate, go home, and just walk around and wear that label, you know, the rest of the week, you're not a threat to the enemy. You're not a threat to the enemy. But when you come to the realization that, you know, we're called to be soldiers in the kingdom, it takes on a whole different meaning. And anytime you try to walk in that, all of a sudden, now you are a threat to the enemy. And you become a target. He don't like you. He wants to take you out, do whatever he can. And so a lot of people, you know, are coming into the reality, hey, I'm not just called to be casual. I'm called to be a soldier. And they're making that transition. They're trying to move forward in God. They're trying to, you know, be involved in the kingdom. And then all of a sudden, here comes the enemy bombarding them, you know, and they don't know how to handle it. And so, you know, a lot of them are giving up, saying, I'm done with this, you know. And, you know, especially when you have people on, some pastors on TV that say, oh, give your life to God and everything's going to be great. And, you know, troubles are going to vanish. And, man, you're going to be having your best life ever. I don't know what God they surrender to, because, yeah, you know, I thought my life was hell before, but the moment I gave my life to God, all hell broke loose.
Go on.
Why? Because the enemy wanted to get back what he lost. Anytime we submit to God, anytime we give our life to God, guess what? Heaven has gained one, hell has lost one. And hell is trying to do everything it can to get you back. And so you think your life was crazy before you said yes to God? Just wait, because the enemy's going to do everything he can. And so now all of a sudden what happens is we have people saying, but I thought when I gave my life to God, all of this was going to go away. I thought when I gave my life to God, there wasn't going to be no more troubles. I didn't sign up for this. I'm bailing out. And, you know, that's what we're seeing today in a lot of the body today. And but it's like I told, you know, my congregation Sunday, I said, I've just been in a season of not being ready to throw in the towel, but just not ready to give up, but just tired. And but we have to keep going. Have to keep going. And so Sunday I did something that I don't ever do. I was going to go to Sunday school, and I just kept driving. And I was just feeling that pull, just keep driving. And I knew the Lord was pulling me, and you know, sometimes he just wants to talk to us. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes in your familiar environment, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to praise him at home. But there's so many distractions that we can, you know, the TV, the, you know, the phone, you know, your dog or cat, just, you know, things that can just distract you. And so I have a lady I work with. She talks about going on prayer drives all the time. And you know, I think, oh, okay. But wow, Sunday, it was so amazing. And, you know, I just began to feel God saying, pour your heart out. And, you know, I just said, God, I said, I'm tired.
Come on.
God, I'm tired.
Come on.
I can't give. I'm not giving up, God. I'm not. I said, but I'm tired. And I said, Lord, this ain't me. This place I've been in, this season that I've been in, this ain't me. And, you know, when you know God, you know when something ain't right, when something's out of place. I said, Lord, this ain't the place you called me to. This ain't the season you called me to. This ain't what, you know, this ain't the assignment that you've given me. And the Lord said, there's been a season of disconnect. And not, you know, and a lot of times when we preach, we always say, you know, when we're preaching and we make a point, we'll say, oh, the body as a whole, not just PVM or, you know, not just the Catholic Church, not just the Baptist Church. We don't want to include art, you know, we want to include, but sometimes you have to admit that it is going on in your body. And, you know, so I told him, I said, it's going on in the body. God said it's going on in the whole body, including us. And, but there's a season of disconnect. And, you know, think about John chapter 15. He gave me John chapter 15. And starting to verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, and apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Wow. And so, starting at that first statement, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. You know, what is the vine? You know, when you think about a tree, when you think about a plant, you have the root system, and the root system goes up into the vine, and it's the vine that's connected to the branches. And so it's the roots that pull life up through the vine into the branches that give life. And so Jesus says, I'm the life source, is what he's saying when he said, I'm the true vine. He's saying, I'm the true source of life. You know, everybody out there is trying to find a life source. You know, especially when you're going through something, you know, often the first place they turn to is drugs or alcohol. This will keep me going. This will keep me, you know, functioning. You know, whatever it is, people are looking for sources of life. But, you know, eventually those life sources will lead to death. But Jesus said, I am the true vine. I'm the true source of life. You know, I'm a life source that will cause you to flourish, not to perish. And so, you know, he says, my Father is the vine dresser. The vine dresser. He prunes, he shapes, he molds. And, you know, a lot of times when we're preaching, you know, we focus on Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We don't focus about, you know, God the Father. But he's indirectly being, you know, thrown in there because, you know, he operates through his Spirit. And so we ask, you know, well, how does the Father be the vine dresser? Through his Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, you know, Jesus told the disciples, he said, I'm leaving, and it's better that I leave, because I'm going to send you another comforter in my place. And he will lead you, he'll guide you, direct you, teach you in all truths. And so, you know, and it says, you know, that we shall bear much fruit if we remain in him. Remain in me, and I remain in you. There's one word that describes that, and that's connection. Connection. And so, I was explaining the other night, or the other morning at church, when we go into Walmart, whenever we go into the grocery store, and we see the fruit, you know, in the produce aisle, and it looks all shiny and looks all good and stuff. We think, man, that looks good. Man, I'd love to eat that. And so we buy it, and we get it home. And, you know, one of my friends' dad, he always says, don't buy bananas at Walmart, because by the time you get to the checkout line, they'll be brown by the time you get checked out. And sometimes it seems like it takes you forever to go through the line. But, you know, even the fruit that looks great, you know, you buy it and you get it home, and then within a few days, if you hadn't eaten it, it starts to look different. It don't look as good as it did when you first bought it, when you first saw it. And that's because the life has begun. It's no longer connected to the vine. And so it's no longer connected to a life source. And the reality of it is that even when you saw it in the supermarket and it looked good, it had already been removed from the vine. It had enough life in it to sustain it for a while. But then, you know, there's no avoiding that process where the life's going to drain out of you. And, you know, even as Christians, the enemy does that as well. The enemy wants us to be disconnected from the vine because he knows that's where our life source is. And if he can get us disconnected, you know, we may feel fine for a little while. People may not notice, but eventually, guess what? People are going to notice. You're going to notice. You know, you're going to feel the life draining out of you. And I'm talking spiritually. You're going to feel the life draining out of you. You're going to feel weak. You're going to feel, you know, like you're dying. And but that's what the enemy wants. And so if we're disconnected, guess what? Our fruit's going to suffer. And I always say there's a few things that can't lie. That's video cameras and your fruit. It cannot lie. And so when we talk about our life source, there's two areas. There's two areas that can be our life source. That's the kingdom of heaven, and that's the kingdom of this world. And whatever life source, you know, the Bible says in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. When you're connected to the vine called Jesus, guess what? That life in you combined with the Holy Spirit leading you, guiding you, teaching you into all things, guess what? You just keep growing and continuing to be more in his image. But if you get disconnected, all of a sudden you begin to speak like the world, think like the world, sound like the world, reflect the world. So what we have to remember today is whatever life source you're connected to is the nature that you're going to take on. And so, you know, when you're not connected to the root true vine, your fruit begins to tell the story. And let me take a break.
Whenever you're ready. You know that 15:1, it says, I am the true vine. That's a clue.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
I take that as a clue.
Yeah.
It's like ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
There's
ding,
your clue.
Yeah.
That tells me that there are false vines.
False vines.
Counterfeit. Yeah. Fake.
Imposters.
You know, so we really have to be on guard.
Amen.
As to where we get our, you know, where we get our stuff from. Our source.
Yep. Come on. Yeah, we gotta make sure we're getting it from the true place.
And while you were talking about God being moved, God is not moved by emotions.
That's right.
From emotions.
There you go.
It's the heart of the hearts that move him. So, like, I could pretend I wanted all day long. I could go through the motions all day. But that's not going to move God.
Amen.
Because my heart is not ready to really surrender and be under his authority.
Amen.
But whenever, you know, at first, it took me a minute to get in line when I first wanted to change and I started going back to church. It took Monica, my flesh, time to get in line.
Yeah.
It didn't just boom happen.
Yeah.
I didn't just, okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm sick of this. Help me. I was curled up in a ball on my floor. Mm-hmm. I was ready to be done.
Yep.
And then I cried out with my heart.
Yep.
My heart was so broken and in pieces. And I was willing and ready to give him every single piece.
Amen.
And it was even missing some pieces.
Amen.
You know, and it's like I told Kaylin, Angel's mom, when she first asked me, you know, when she first said, I want what you got.
Mm-hmm.
And Monica in her mind's like, what you mean?
Yeah. What part you want?
What you mean you want what I got? Right? What you mean?
Yeah.
Looking. Yeah. What you mean? You want what I got? What?
Yeah.
You know, looking all sideways.
Yeah.
Why? Looking sideways.
How you want what I want?
What you mean? You know. And then she said, I want what you have.
Yes.
You're not angry anymore.
Amen.
And I said, I got my Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That's what I got.
That's what you got.
And then I told her, and I proceeded with, it's not for sissy lalas.
There you go.
It's not for the sissies.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where the
this is where it gets real.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's you know, it ain't for the sissies.
Amen.
You know, I mean, yeah. I've been a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
And
I tell you what, this ain't got nothing on that.
That's a whole nother level.
That's a whole nother ring, man.
Amen. Yeah, and that's what you said. He's not moved by emotions. You know, I always say that church folk can be some of the greatest actors.
Mm.
We, you know, we learn how to play church. We learn how to do church. And, you know, and I was on my drive the other day, I was telling God, I said, I feel like I've just been going through the motions.
Mm.
You know, and I told him at church on Sunday morning, I said, if we're going to be transparent, I said, the church people, you know, can find the smallest excuse to miss church, and it's fine. But if a pastor misses church for any reason, well, all of a sudden we're going to be wondering, you know, what's going on? Why ain't the pastor here? Why ain't the... So you learn, sometimes you learn to show up and play the part of pastor. And I told the Lord, I said, that's where I've been in the last 2 months. I said, but this ain't me. This ain't me.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about some more about that after this.
Okay.
Great. Hallelujah.